Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, podcast family, and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hotch to Hotch podcast, and this is the Messenger Edition. Your co-producers, Ken and Ron Hodge. This is Nurse Corin, and again, we thank you and welcome you for tuning in. Welcome to tuning in. And next, we'll be having a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening to all, and welcome once again. I just came to say, if you believe that God is some omnipotent being who hears all prayers, say yes to some and no to others, and maybe but not now to the rest, you are mistaken. By what rule of thumb would God decide? If you believe that God is the creator and decider of all things in your life, you are mistaken. God is the observer, not the creator, and God stands ready to assist you in living your life, but not in the way you might expect. It is not God's function to create or uncreate the circumstances or conditions of your life. God created you in the image and likeness of God. You have created the rest through the power God has given you. God created the process of life and life itself as you know it. Yet God gave you free choice to do with life as you will. In this sense, your will for you is God's will for you. You are living your life the way you are living your life, and God has no preference in the matter. This is the grand illusion in which you have engaged, that God cares one way or the other what you do. God does not care what you do, and that is hard for you to hear. Yet, do you care what your children do when you send them out to play? Is it a matter of consequence to you whether they play tag or hide and seek or pretend? No, it's not, because you know they are perfectly safe. You have placed them in an environment which you consider friendly and very okay. Of course, you will always hope that they do not hurt themselves, and if they do, you will be right there to help them, heal them, allow them to feel safe again, to be happy again, to go and play again another day. But whether they choose hide and seek or pretend will not matter to you the next day either. You will tell them, of course, which games are dangerous to play, but you cannot stop your children from doing dangerous things. Not always, not forever, not in every moment from now until death. It is the wise parent who knows this, yet the parent never stops caring about the outcome. It is this dichotomy, not caring deeply about the process, but caring deeply about the results, that come close to describing the dichotomy of God. Yet God, in a sense, does not even care about the outcome, not the ultimate outcome. This is because the ultimate outcome is assured. And this is the second greatest illusion of man, that the outcome of life is in doubt. It is this doubt about ultimate outcome that has created your greatest enemy, which is fear. For if you doubt outcome, then you must doubt Creator. You must doubt God. And if you doubt God, you must live in fear and guilt all your life. If you doubt God's intention and God's ability to produce the ultimate result, then how can you ever relax? How can you ever truly find peace? Yet God has full power to match intentions with results. You cannot and will not believe in this, even though you claim that God is all powerful. And so you have to create in your imagination a power equal to God in order that you may find a way for God's will to be thwarted. And so you have created in your mythology the being you call devil. You have even imagined a God at war with this being, thinking that God solves problems the way you do. Finally, you have actually imagined that God can lose this war. All of this violates everything you say you know about God, but this doesn't matter. You live your illusion, and thus you fear your fear. You feel your fear, all out of your decision to doubt God. But what if you made a new decision? What then would be the results? I tell you this. You would live as the Buddha did, as Jesus did every saint you have ever idolized. Yet, as with most of these saints, would not understand you. And when you try to explain your sense of peace, your joy in life, your inner ecstasy, they would listen to your words but not hear them. They would try to repeat your words but would add to them. They would wonder how you could have what they cannot find. And then they would grow jealous. Soon jealousy would turn to rage. And in their rage, they would try to convince you that it is you who do not understand God. And if they were unsuccessful at tearing you from your joy, they would seek to harm you. So enormous would be their rage. And when you told them it does not matter, that even death cannot interrupt your joy nor change your truth, they would surely kill you. Then, when they saw the peace with which you accepted death, they would call you saint and love you again. For it is the nature of people to love, then destroy, then love again that which they value most. All human actions are motivated at the deepest level by one of two emotions, fear or love. In truth, there are only two emotions, only two words in the language of the soul. These are the opposite ends of the great polarity, where God created, then God produced the universe and your world as you know it today. These are the two points, the Alpha and the Omega, which allows the system you call relativity to be. Without these two points, without these two ideas about things, no other idea could exist. Every human thought and every human action is based in either love or fear. There is no other human motivation, and all other ideas are but derivatives of these two. They are simply different versions, different twists on the same theme. Think on this deeply, and you will see that it is true. This is what God has called the sponsoring thought. It is either a thought of love or fear. This is the thought behind the thought behind the thought. It is the first thought. It is prime force. It is the raw energy that drives the engine of human experience. And here is how human behavior produces repeat experience after repeat experience. It is why humans love, then destroy, then love again. Always there is the swing from one emotion to the other. Love sponsors fear, sponsors love, sponsors fear. And the reason is found in the first lie. The lie which you hold as the truth about God, that God cannot be trusted, that God's love cannot be depended upon, that God's love acceptance of you is conditional, that the ultimate outcome is thus in doubt. For if you cannot depend on God's love to always be there, on whose love can you depend? If God retreats and withdraws, when do you not perform properly, will not mere mortals also? And so it is that in the moment you pledge your highest love, you greet your greatest fear. For the thing you worry about after saying I love you is whether you'll hear it back. And if you hear it back, then you begin immediately to worry that the love you have just found will lose. You will lose. And so all actions become a reaction, defense against loss, even as you seek to defend yourself against the loss of God. Yet, if you knew who you are, that you are the most magnificent, the most remarkable, the most splendid being God has ever created, you would never fear. For who could reject such wondrous magnificence? Not even God could find fault in such a being. But you do not know who you are, and you think you are a great deal less. And where did you get the idea of how much less than magnificent you are? From the only people whose word you would take on everything, your mother and your father. These are the people who love you the most. Why would they lie to you? Yet have they not told you that you are too much of this and not enough of that? Have they not reminded you that you are to be seen and not heard? Have they not scolded you in some of the moments of your greatest exuberance? And did they not encourage you to set aside some of your wildest imaginings? These are the messages you receive. And though they do not meet the criteria and are thus not messages from God, they might as well have been, for they have come from the gods of your universe, surely enough. It was your parents who taught you that love is conditional. You have felt their conditions many times, and that is the experience you take into your own love relationship. It is also the experiences which bring you to God. From this experience, you draw your conclusions about God. Within this framework, you speak your truth. God is a loving God, you say. But if you break his commandments, he will punish you with eternal banishment and everlasting damnation. For have you not experienced the banishment of your own parents? Do you not know the pain of their damnation? How then can you imagine it to be any different with God? You have forgotten what it was like to be loved without condition. You do not remember the experience of the love of God. And so you try to imagine what God's love must be like based on what you see of love in the world. You have projected the role of parent onto God and have thus come up with a God who judges and rewards or punishes based on how good he feels about what you've been up to. But this is a simplistic view of God based on your mythology. It has nothing to do with who God is. Having thus created an entire thought system about God based on human experience rather than spiritual truth, you then create an entire reality around love. It is a base reality rooted in the idea of a fearful, vengeful God. Its sponsoring thoughts is wrong. But to deny that would be to disrupt your whole theology. And though the new theology would replace it, would truly be your salvation, you cannot accept it because the idea of a God who is not to be feared, who will not judge, and who has no cause to punish is simply too magnificent to be embraced within even your grandest notions of who and what God is. This fear-based love continually dominates your experience of love. Indeed, actually creates it. For not only do you see yourself receiving love, which is conditional, you also watch yourself giving it in the same way. And even while you withhold and retreat and set your conditions, a part of you know this is not what love really is. Still, you seem powerless to change the way you dispense it. You've learned the hard way. You tell yourself, and you'll be damned if you're going to leave yourself vulnerable again. Yet the truth is, you'll be damned if you don't. By your own mistakes, thoughts about love, do you damn yourself never to experience it purely? So too, do you damn yourself never to know God as God really is? Until you do. For you shall not be able to deny God forever, and the moment will come for your reconciliation. Every action taken by humans, beings, is based in love or fear, not simply those dealing with relationships. Decisions affecting business, industry, politics, religion, the education of your young, the social agenda of the nation, the economic goal of the society. Choices involving war, peace, attack, defense, aggression, submission, determination to cover or give away, to save or to share, to unite or divide. Every single free choice you ever undertake arises out of one of the two possible thoughts there are, a thought of love or a thought of fear. Fear is the energy which contracts, closes down, draws in, run, hide, hoards, harm. Love is the energy which expands, opens up, sends out, stays, reveals, shears, heals. Fear wraps our body in clothing. Love allows us to stand naked. Fear clings to and clutches all that we have. Love gives all that we have away. Fear holds close. Love holds dear. Fear grabs. Love let goes. Fear rankles. Love smooths. Fear attacks. Love amends. Every human thought, word, or deed is based in one emotion or the other. You have no choice about this because there is nothing else from which to choose. But you have free choice about which of these to select. You have been taught to live in fear. You have been told about the survival of the fittest and the victor of the strongest and the success of the cleverest. Precious little is said about the glory of the most loving. And so you strive to be the fittest, the strongest, the cleverest in one way or another. And if you see yourself as something less than this in any situation, you fear loss. For you have been told that to be less is to lose. And so, of course, you choose the action fear sponsors, for that is what you have been taught. Yet, I will teach you this. When you choose the action love sponsors, then will you do more than survive. Then will you do more than win. Then will you do more than succeed. Then will you experience the full glory of who you really are and who you can be. To do this, you must turn aside the teachings of your well-meaning but misinformed worldly tutors and hear the teaching of those whose wisdom come from another source. There are many such teachers among you. As always, there have been. For God said, I will not leave you without those who will show you. teach you, guide you, and remind you of these truths. Yet the greatest reminder is not anyone outside you, but the voice within you. This is the first tool God uses because it is the most accessible. The voice within is the loudest voice with which God speaks because it is the closest to you. It is the voice which tells you whether everything else is true or false, right or wrong, good or bad, as you have defined it. It is the radar that sets the course, steers the ship, guides the journey if you but let it. It is the voice which tells you right now whether the very words you are hearing are words of love or words of fear. By this measure, you can determine whether you are words to heed or words to ignore. There is only one purpose for all of life, and that is for you and all that live to experience fullest glory. Everything else you say, think, or do is attended to that function. There is nothing else for your soul to do, nothing else your soul wants to do. The wonder of this purpose is that it is never ending. An ending is a limitation, and God's purpose is without such a boundary. There should never come a moment in which you experience yourself in your fullest glory. You will in that instant imagine an even greater glory to fulfill. The more you are, the more you can become. And the more you can become, the more you can yet be. The deepest secret is that life is not a process of discovery, but a process of, creation. You are not discovering yourself, but creating yourself anew. Seek, therefore, not to find out who you are. Seek to determine who you want to be. Seek to determine who you want to be. Now, as I said, I was going to make this a short presentation just to give you something to think about. Just remember, seek, therefore, not to find out who you are, but who you want to be, because you have power and authority to be just who you want to be. So I thank you all very much for taking the time to tune in tonight. I hope something was said, once again, that would stir up or give you that the desire to listen to that voice that is talking to you. Because remember, God is speaking to all of us all the time. It's just a question of who will listen. I thank you all very much. I pray that your week gets better. And I'm thanking God for healing. I'm thanking God right now that mother will understand that God is in control. And God is within you. God has said, speak it and it shall be. So right now, as I tune out of this podcast, I'm just sending a word out of encouragement to mother to let her know, claim it, and it shall be. Believe in your heart and doubt not. I thank you all very much. Have yourself a blessed week. And remember, love is the key.
Amen.
What you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.